this dumbass.
You're muted.
Oh, I didn't even realize I was muted that whole time. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Tuesday, November 30th, 2021, and the world is bracing itself for Omicron 22. I want to welcome you to the Godfathers of Podcasting, let you know we are broadcasting live. There you go. Had a live fuck up right off the start on godfathersofpodcasting.com. We've been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting, but I don't know how to work the mute button. Archives of this show will be available on Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, or any major podcast provider. Video archives are exclusively available on our site, godfathersofpodcasting.com. When you're on our site, buy some merch and put a few dollars in our pockets. If you're tuning in live, you can interact with us right now. 437-375-2000. 437-375-2000. You can send us a text or you can get us on WhatsApp. My name is Donnie Da Silva, and it is my distinct pleasure to introduce the Debbie Gibson and Tiffany to my NKOTB, Notorious T.I.D., Chris Tidwell, and my bro Danny O.
That is not even close to accurate, any of that whatsoever.
You know, I never know which one I am when he says those things.
Well, he clearly is not New Kids on the Block.
No.
Why not?
Well,
why can't I be all five of them?
First of all, they know how to work a microphone.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? 26 years. It's the first time I've ever done it. Eat me.
Oh, boy. Okay. Hey, how you doing, Dan?
Good, brother. How are you, Tim?
I'm doing quite well.
Well done. So you got the hat vibes this week.
Yeah, it's getting colder out there. You know what I'm saying? So I was like,
he's not ready to turn the heat on.
No. Why you want to do that? I look good in a hat, though, don't I?
Bro, I got to ask you both something. Are you guys who walk outside in current weather? So here in Toronto, it's somewhere around the freezing mark, maybe 1 degree, sometimes under. That's 32 degrees for y'all in the States. Freezing. Do you guys walk outside wearing shit like ankle socks or a T-shirt and then not zipping up your jacket like I see so many people doing?
It's not heavy coat weather right now.
Bro, are you nuts? That's exactly what I expect to hear out of what the hell are you talking about? Bridget, I am double socks to my knees. I got my shirt tucked in with three layers on top of it, hats, gloves. I don't understand people who go outside wearing next to nothing.
But where are you going?
I don't care if I'm going across the street for I have to bundle up, bro.
Seriously?
I'm a bundler's. Yeah.
Like I am from the desert and yeah. I will go out there in shorts and like no socks and a pair of Under Armour sliders or something like that and a hoodie. You know what I mean? Like
I saw Tiz last night. I walked in, I had no coat on. He was at his gym.
I went and got my snow tires done the other day. The guy walked into the shop wearing sandals and shorts.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I leave from my front door. I get into my vehicle. Out of my vehicle, and I go to wherever it is.
People
I'm not
always say that
the
cold
distance.
But your car's still cold. Will you keep the car in the basement?
No, you get one of them like.
You've got your car in an. You've got your car in an underground parking lot.
Still too cold.
You got seat warmers in your car?
Yeah, and I use them shits. I'll tell you that.
You never feel like you just gotta like your prostate's all fucked up from the seat warmers?
No, you can't. Those seat warmers are serious though. You gotta put it on the lowest one and then turn the shit off. It's not for the whole ride. Whole ride.
There should be a disclaimer.
My balls are burning, like
roasted
literally
nuts
burning
on an open fire.
They need a disclaimer. Seat warmers, not for the whole ride.
No, Reggie, not for the whole ride. I got oven burners in the Veeks. I'm not making popcorn.
I want to see commercials in January. The new Honda Civic 2022. Seat warmers included, but not for the whole ride.
Not for the whole ride, okay?
Right?
And I want to see, a clothing retailer come up with this slogan, run the bundlers, because a lot of y'all ain't doing it. I see you outside. You're going to catch a cold now.
Oh,
run the bundlers.
I'm having flashbacks to many, many, many years when my family would host Christmas Eve and Dan would come by every year and have Christmas Eve dinner with my whole family.
Always a good time.
Always a good time. And my dad, RIP, would stand there and look at Dan as he walked in the front door, bundled up. Like, it's maybe 1 degree Celsius. Yeah. And he's walking
around. He's looking like Kenny.
Scarf like around Kenny. His face, hood with fur-lined hood pulled up. He's got a big parka. He's got like two sweaters on. And then he's got slippers in his hand.
Yes.
Like an old man. And he's like, yo, guy, it is cold out here. I'm like, what's wrong with it? I'm ready to go outside in a t-shirt.
Yeah, I don't understand you people.
That's the difference. That's the difference.
I don't get it.
We are built like giant trees.
Like men.
You are built like a dandelion.
How long would Dan have lasted when you
thus
and I were
the name
working?
Dan.
Dan. Yes.
You are Dan, a dandelion. And a bit of a dandy. Yep. I mean, this conversation is making you a bit of a dandy. So
y'all
you are a dandy
that's what
lion.
It was short for. Yeah. There's at least a lion in that word.
How long would Dan have lasted working with us at the old Whiskey Saigon when you and I used to stand outside in the freezing cold
in
for
a winter?
4 hours at a time?
Oh, he'd still be laying there because somebody would just like hit him. He'd be so bundled up. Boop, you'd push him over and he wouldn't
never
know how
get
to
up
get
again.
Back. Never get up again.
But I wouldn't feel like, it. I'd be so bundled
this
up.
This is where the speed bump of Danny O is.
Well, at least I'm doing something valuable.
He's helping keep the community safe.
Keep the traffic slow.
No speed.
I mentioned off the top Debbie Gibson and Tiffany, and it wasn't just accidental. It was a bit of a segue, and I wanted to share this with you guys because I don't think either one of you have seen this, and I don't know how many people in the audience have seen this, but it killed me when I saw it. TMZ put this video out. Tiffany, I think we're alone now. Mm-hmm. She performed live last week, and sweet 80s pop star Tiffany, mm-hmm. who's not so sweet anymore, was cussing out her fans.
Oh, okay? Wow.
And butchered her own song. And Dan and Tid both, you're both musicians. Tell me your thoughts on this performance. I've clipped it just to the parts I want you to see. Here we go.
Yo, straight up sound guy turned down her mic.
Yeah.
Straight up sound guy turned down her mic because she was still trying to throw out a few. Like, she was like, I'm going to do the Janis Joplin version of this song because that.
What key was she in?
Skeleton. Goddamn skeleton key.
That song came out in the 80s. She's got to be a little, you know, she's obviously older now. How long has she been pregnant?
She might have been intoxicated. She might have been slightly intoxicated in that video, and I can understand that.
No,
I mean, that's
fully,
what you do.
Not slightly,
that's what you
fully
do. Well, we don't know that.
Oh, no, man. She's been chowing down and she's been drinking. A lot.
That didn't sound like her.
It didn't look like her. Yeah, no.
We're gonna get text messages for you fat shaming, Tiffany.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Is a little on the rotund side.
Funny sidebar note. Tid may remember this or he may not, but when he and I worked together back at Virtually Canadian, the internet radio station, way back in the late 90s. Tiffany was the first person I ever booked as a guest for another show when I was helping to produce a show that was hosted by Merrick and someone else. I can't remember who. It was a morning show, Tid. It wasn't Wixen. It was somebody else.
Did you pay her in sandwiches?
Maybe. But anyway, I was producing the show and they were saying, let's find some guests. I remember I found Tiffany's actual phone number online.
Really?
Well, yeah, because there was only 7 phone numbers online back then.
It's true. And they only had 7 digits.
We literally called her on the phone and said, "Hey, Tiffany, I'm calling from a internet radio station." I might have lied. I might have just said radio station up in Toronto. And we wanted to see if we could get you on the air. And she said, "Yeah, sure." And I'm like, "Great. Can we book a time?" She's like, "I'm free now." And I'm like, "Going live in 3, 2, 1. Here's Tiffany."
Man, I don't even know what to say. I did not recognize her.
That's a shame because you know what's going to happen. I did not
recognize her at all.
You know what's going to When was this? When was this filmed?
Last week.
Okay, yeah. So at some point, like, she's obviously sobered up and seen this, and like, oof. I can only imagine.
She apparently issued an apology on social media.
Of course. How can you not?
And said that, you know, there were issues and like, you know, she can still sing her own song. Don't get it twisted. And blah, blah, blah.
She can, just not in the original key.
Imagine you went out.
You know how it goes, right?
Imagine you went out to go see Tiffany. Like, she doesn't have a lot of fans left. And now she's telling you to fuck off.
Yeah.
And she's singing badly.
It's clearly not being done in a mall anymore.
Right. Remember when she had that going on?
You know? Her and who was the other one? Debbie Gibson?
Yeah, her longtime rival, right? Before Debbie Tupac Gibson, and Biggie.
They were rivals?
Yeah,
Debbie still man. Looks Debbie still must looks be good, laughing though. Her ass off right now.
Debbie still looks all right.
Does she? Well, yeah. There you go.
I get lost in her eyes. Okay, so let me just ask you. We're talking about Debbie Gibson. We're talking about Tiffany. Is there an 80s song that you're embarrassed to admit you still know the lyrics to? Like, if your boys were like, "Yo, why do you know the lyrics to that
now
song?"
It's "I Think I'm Alone Now."
See, I know
but
that.
Do you know all the lyrics?
No, I actually don't.
That's the thing, right?
There's a ton of 80s songs I know all the lyrics to.
But that you're a little embarrassed to admit it, Dan.
Should have known better than to cheat a friend. A wasted chance that I've been given.
Keep going, man.
And I'm never gonna dance again the way I dance with you.
I think we're gonna get we're not gonna be able to put this up online. We're gonna get who knows flagged.
This is why we don't stream on Facebook anymore. Fuck you, Facebook.
Yeah. What's the name of the other guy?
Andrew?
Sure.
It begins with an A. Yeah. Other Wham dude. Shit, I know it.
Exactly.
He deserves more respect than that.
He was the oats of Wham.
He was the oats of Wham. That sounds gross or delicious. I can't decide.
I think oats of Wham is a brand waiting to happen.
Dude, that's a hell of a cover band.
Hey, if the oats, oats of Wham. Of
Wham, 80s cover band playing live.
Songs off their new album. Run the Bundlers. That would be it. By Oats of Wham.
Tid, what's your 80s guilty pleasure that you still know the lyrics to?
I mean, like, you got to remember, like, I'm a few years older than y'all. So, yeah, like, the 80s, like, that was a lot of
the
music. 80s
that was still
music.
That's your musical
overload. Yeah, it was musical overload, right? But, I mean, there's, I know the lyrics to a lot of 80s stuff, but I think, you know, I think the fact that if you have to admit that you know any lyrics to any Journey song, it's just horrible, right? So that and maybe Sister Christian. No,
come on, run it, run the.
Come on,
run the.
No,
lyrics.
This is no. We're not getting paid.
Oh, yeah, this guy.
But if I start a Patreon or whatever those things are called,
maybe an
Patreon
NFT
to get Tid singing. Let's see.
Let's NFT that my Careless Whisper lyrics. By Wham, absolutely. George Michael and Andrew Ridgely.
And here's a little known thing. Hold on one second. Another one. Hold on one second. Sister Christian by Night Ranger. So when I was in junior high school, we had this talent contest and we went to them with a whole whack of songs that they wouldn't let us do. Of course, they wouldn't let us do like Slayer. They wouldn't let us do, you know, any of these songs. And finally, they settled on Sister Christian from Night Ranger to let us do. But of course, then we had to bring in a girl to hit the super high spots because I couldn't, because the idea of the whole thing was, just like with Night Ranger, the drummer played the drums and sang at the same time.
The
only one.
Yeah. So there you go. Sister Christian.
mine that I'll never enjoy admitting that I still know the lyrics to, and it's really specific and weird because it's a song, it's a horrible love ballad by Glenn Medeiros. But well, even worse, even worse is I remember a guy and a girl I went to elementary school with that sang this at a school talent show. So every time I hear the song, I hear Omar Blas's Filipino accent as he sings the song. I can't hear the song any other way anymore.
Would you like to do the Filipino rendition?
Touch me now. I don't want to live without you. And I can't get that shit out of my head all the time.
It's very Latino.
Nothing gonna change my life for you.
Oh, that song.
How much I love you.
Oh, wasn't that like in one of those like Endless Nights songs or like one of those movies back then?
It's up. Yeah.
The 80s were dope though. I don't care.
None of that was dope.
That I'd run that tune like a bundles at a party at an 80s dance. Dance with the girl like holding her this far and shit.
Dude, okay. So I think that's what you need to do, Dan, with your next. You need to put out an 80s themed deal where all your backbeats are just nothing but
80s
tricked out 80s one hit wonders of you just, you know, popping off over.
I've legit thought of that. I even did a song called 80s
music. No, you didn't. I just did.
Was released. Well, yeah.
I thought of it.
It's a good idea that I'm going to say I once had.
I just got a text message on WhatsApp, 437-375-2000. This is from Megan in Cornerbrook, Newfoundland. Hey, guys, found out about your show a few weeks ago when you had the Trues on. I loved the interview. Loved your show so much, I decided to start binging from the very beginning of your Spotify catalog.
Sorry.
I'm up to episode 25 with Larry Hankin. I love him. Thanks for doing this every week. I've been telling all my friends. Question. What is your go-to song to sing in the shower? It's a good question.
Wow.
Dan?
Well, firstly, thank you. That's dope that you've gone back and checked out, you know, every show from the jump. To be honest, it changes. I don't have any one song. It's whatever I happen to be listening to at the moment. I have a feeling tonight it'll be Careless Whisper with a little Glenn Medeiros. I don't know. It's something different every day. I don't have a go-to.
For some reason, I don't think Ted sings in the shower. I think he just angrily pulls his pud.
You know what I do in the shower?
Coincidentally, you know what the song is?
What is?
I think we're alone.
No Patreon needed for that.
No. You could get booked if that's your rendition. It sounded really good.
It's hell better of than Tiffany.
Yeah, I might pretend I'm in a video or a movie, though. Even weirder than singing in the shower, I might pretend it's raining. You know, like those, I don't know, like a Rambo flick, and he's in the jungle, and it's raining on him and stuff, and the water's beating off him while he's ready to kill people. I kind of have weird sort of thoughts like that.
Don's the same way, only his is like in like a Russian bathhouse, and it's not really a shower of water.
Bridget, how does water even hit your head? You guys are too tall for shit. The shower is like by your neck.
Depends, man. A lot of times, if you're not at your own crib, you end up doing the limbo in the shower.
Yeah,
you got to do a what? Like,
you got to snake. Yeah, you got to snake. You got to snake side to side in it.
You guys come out with dry patches.
Yeah, what are you laughing about? By the time the hot water gets to your head, it's ice cold. You could
bathe under my
bundles. Why do you think
he's bundles in the shower?
Whenever the heat gets to me, it's already cold. I gotta run bundles everywhere, bro. Shower too.
I threw out a question up on my Instagram story before we went live on air today. You can follow me, Godfather Donnie. And I asked our listeners and our viewers out there, have you watched the new Beatles Get Back docu-movie, TV series, whatever the hell you want to call it, on Disney Plus? Gentlemen, have either of you watched it yet?
I saw a lot of it in silence when I was in the studio this past Saturday. It was just running.
Okay.
So well, I didn't get to
the wrong
hear
show
any.
To watch in silence.
Okay. Although I heard it's kind of I wouldn't. I just heard. This is what I heard, but it's kind of boring. It's like they just threw footage together. But I imagine Beatle fans love it. I just saw. But here's the thing: watching it in silence, all I kept thinking was, "The fuck's Yoko doing there?" She reminds me of the one dude in the crew whose gal is so insecure she has to run with him everywhere he goes.
Well, that's
exactly what happened.
Yeah, man. Yoko was up in the mix the whole time, not contributing a lyric.
You
not,
know, every band has a Yoko.
It must. But that was that's what even I got
rappers,
from watching
even it. Rappers got him now, it seems like.
I'm sure.
I started watching the Disney Plus Beatles special. But oh my God, guys, buckle up. If you're gonna take it in, it is nearly 8 hours long.
Yeah.
So by buckle you know what up, I like about mean, it, like, buckle up the belt
and hang yourself to
a tie it to a ceiling fan.
I've only watched the first episode so far. I spoke on the weekend with John Angus from the Trues, and he said it was amazing.
Yeah,
he was really putting it over to me. The thing I love is, and Dan, you should be able to appreciate this too, there's a lot of the behind the scenes creative process of them putting songs together and creating songs and mastering songs. And there's a lot of the interpersonal stuff of them like not quite getting along and all kinds of shit like that. Right.
I really like too that they show Billy Preston's involvement in the group, the so-called Black Beatle, who wasn't officially part of the Beatles, but was a part of the process, at least on that particular project. And love that documentary just shows his contributions.
I'm going to think that the whole thing was bullshit unless they've got Apu Nahasapima Petalon in this thing, because everybody knows he was the fifth Beatle.
Right.
Our featured guest is waiting backstage, and we're going to get to him. Very quickly, though, we had another text just come in, 437-375-2000. It said, guys, I started watching the Beatles special, but it's so long I had time to build a time machine, travel to 1965, and watch them perform live.
Quick question, though.
Leave the jokes to us.
Because all I saw
okay to be not funny.
Yeah. Was the purpose of the doc to show the completion of an album, or was it this rooftop show? I don't know which episode I caught. But
it was
all part of the
original Take Back special or Get Back special.
How many episodes? Is it just one episode that's super long? Or
no,
it's
like
broken down.
It's like 3 2.5-hour specials.
Gotcha. Because I did watch the Bee Gees documentary, and that thing was pretty rad.
You imagine Zack Snyder watching this, like, wait, I can go longer?
Oof.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have some other stuff we want to get to. We have more text messages, but we're going to put all that on hold because right now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the big hello. This week's guest joined us on the show way back on episode 5. And we thought it was high time we brought him back. I first met this young man more than 20 years ago when he was a high school student, much like our author, Sean Thomas, who was on the show 2 weeks ago. I was also this man's teacher, or at least I was the one who checked absent next to his name because he was off doing whatever the hell he wanted to do.
Clearly, I never showed up to class.
Clearly, whatever he was doing,
it's not like
whatever he was
nothing.
Doing instead of coming to class paid off, because today he's an actor, a writer, a director, a producer, and a comedian. He's a dual Canadian Screen Award nominee from 2020, 2015. His short film Job Interview won for Best Short at the Canadian Comedy Awards. He had a recurring role on one of my absolute favorite shows, Kim's Convenience, and has a regular supporting role in Detention Adventure. No, that's not all. Check his IMDb, bitches. The dude has nearly 100 acting credits to his name. In case you're unaware, that's a lot, unless you're a porn star, in which case it's a slow month. The last time he was on this show, he was plugging his full-length double musical comedy album entitled Fog and Lasers, and you can still buy it. I think his song Whip Your Dick and Tits Out should be the anthem for this holiday season. Recently, he did an audition where his character had to take a really crazy shit. He yelled and screamed so hard that he actually sustained injuries. That is commitment. Wow. Years ago, he botched an audition because his scene partner had elf ears and he couldn't stop staring at her. To this day, the search for the elf-eared woman continues, much like Inigo Montoya and his quest for the six-fingered man.
That's
he will be
true.
On Ghost. host this Thursday on CBS. And on December 14th, he's doing a big Christmas comedy show called the Gaetano Nunziato Christmas Especiale. We'll have the link to buy tickets up on our website. And are y'all ready for room temperature 16? People loved him last time. We know we took a poll. He was really super chill, but he might have smoked a bowl. He's handing out blade hats. I want one. That's the goal. He dresses up like Venom, then goes out on patrol. He can be kind of edgy, but he's not an asshole. His Christmas stocking's full, not with a lump of coal. He was on Ginny and Georgia, that show's got soul. In Little Italy, his character's name's Ramon. Catch him at the club, pay cover like a toll. His shows are in English, or maybe Espanol. Now we're going to ask big questions like his favorite sushi roll or his favorite Spanish baller. Is it Mark or Pau Gasol? He fucking hates Twitter because it's home for a troll. Now give it up for my man, Rodrigo Fernandez. Stole.
Nice. That was amazing.
He decided to go 14 bars, eh, Doug?
You do that every guest?
Wow.
Holy. Hey,
close enough.
Only the special ones.
Oh, my God.
Hey, man. How are you?
Good. Nice to see you guys again. How
good
are
you? Good seeing you, man.
Now,
good,
of all the introductions you've ever had and all the interviews you've ever done, that one was certainly the longest.
That was the best introduction ever. Thank you. That was crazy. I didn't expect a rap song. That was really...
Hey, man.
And you didn't really get one.
That was equal to any other Canadian rap style song.
Hey, Danielle, how do you do that? Yeah, check on those ones, Dan.
I just shit on your 25-year career.
Wow.
That's really funny. No, I'm just saying that because you were shitting on the... I like how you described the Beatles documentary as...
Yeah.
They threw a bunch of footage together because that's what a documentary is.
Yes, like, I know. But I was wondering.
If they compiled a bunch of past footage. Like
you
that they
know how documentaries
of the band.
Go. Now, you know like, how
yeah,
documentaries
that's what it
go.
Is. That's
no,
what
no, the... no, bro. You know that you got like other types of B-roll and you got interviews and you have all kinds of different shit. But I just saw footage. So, yes, I recognize that. But
which
did you
is
see that?
Cool and very intimate. Right. And I think that's kind of the. I don't know. I was just laughing and I love.
I will give you this, though. I kind of like that it just seems to be a look into, you know, behind the scenes, like fly on the wall, kind of look into the studio as versus a specific story that they're trying to weave together. It's like more raw. And I can appreciate that, especially from a musician standpoint, because to
it
Donnie's point, I do like
doesn't...
to see. The musical process, oh, let it unfold.
Mm-hmm. I just love how we're seeing all this stuff. This stuff was like,
and it looks vivid, man. They really mastered this old ass footage. It looks clean.
Yeah, it's really cool.
What was the other thing that Peter Jackson did? Where he restored all that war footage. That one was amazing as well.
He's talented, that Peter Jackson. I think he's going to be okay.
He's going to be fine. He'll be fine.
Hey, I got to ask you a question. Because when I first met you, when you were just a young, shit-disturbing teenager, as far as I knew, not just from my own personal interactions with you, but also from knowing your two older brothers,
yes,
you were always just Rod. But everywhere you go now, it's Rodrigo. Is Rodrigo the official name in 2021? Or do people still call you Rod?
No, everyone still calls me Rod. I think everybody who calls me Rod is just... Everybody who I know.
Everyone who actually knows.
Yeah.
Was it a conscious effort? Was it a conscious effort to go through life with two poor names?
No.
Because both of those are like I mean, come on.
I would say, yeah, like, even my parents call me Rod sometimes.
Right.
And I think it's just because they try to, like, Canadianize themselves in a way. It's kind of weird. But no, I think I just want to introduce myself as Rodrigo just because it's my name. So I just try to do that. And it would look weird if I just was constantly just saying. I get that question all the time, though, at work. Whenever I work now, I'll get random people, like a director or somebody, being like, should I just call you Rod or Rodrigo? And then I'll say, just call me Rod. It's fine.
Right.
Like,
same.
But I don't think it really matters. It's just a name.
Yeah, because when I think Rod, I still think back to the guy that was in that band back in his high school days.
High school band. Yeah. Man. Full out high school band. I lived that high school life. I didn't go to class. Had a high school band. The class that you taught too, ComTech, I'm pretty sure I got 13%. Famously.
Wow.
I famously got 13% in that class.
Is that right?
Yeah. I remember because it was my also one of my last years, and I had already gotten into college. I had already gotten in Humber.
Right.
So to me, I was like, what's the point in going to school anymore?
Right.
Because I'd already,
you were checked out.
I checked out, and then I think that was the year where I ended up just getting like, I got 13% in contact, and it was like a thing. It was just between a bunch of us. We were all like, how low, what was your lowest mark? And I think I got the lowest.
Wow.
I like that I had your lowest mark ever. I think that's.
Could you have really learned much from Donnie's class though?
He wasn't there.
I think I remember learning about all the subliminal messages in Eagles albums and Beatles albums.
Yeah, those classes you came. Yeah, we did a whole bit on subliminal messaging.
Really?
In the media and in music. And we talked about.
I would have actually been down for that.
It was really cool, actually. We talked a lot about the Beatles and all of their Paul is Dead Man.
Oh, that was a great class. It was a really fun class. I just, at one point, like you said, I checked out. I was like, why am I here? I don't need to be here. I already got into my next school.
It was so funny, though. Like, there's people that I've taught in my, whatever it was, 7-year career teaching before I transitioned out of that world. There was people that I taught that just, you look at them and fear for their future. And then there was Rod. And it's like, this guy has already figured out the game. He's going to be...
I don't know if I figured anything out at that age. I just...
But your talent was obvious.
I was very... It was a mixture of, like, knowing exactly what I wanted to do and also laziness. I was like, what's the easiest path towards, you know, something that's not this right
now? When did you know, Rod? Like, when and how did you know, like, this is the path I want to take?
I think it was... I think actually it was in high school, actually, because I had already started auditioning in high school. Not a lot, but it was, I had already gotten headshots done in high school, and I was really, really into drama class. Like,
okay.
Mrs. Dory Elliott.
Yeah, was Dory.
One of my favorite teachers of all time.
Mine
she
too.
Was actually, one of the... I guess she was the person that started it for me, where she was kind of, and actually the way it started was I had gotten in trouble with her, for not showing up to a rehearsal.
Okay.
And then I think that all started where like she sat me down and she gave me this like hour long conversation about like, if I really wanted to do this, I got to put in the work and everything. And then ever since that conversation, she was like the person who I stayed after school with every day. Mm. And there was a few of us, but like I stayed after school and I actually saw her, I'm going to say like 7 years ago, I saw her at a Licks Burger in Markham, and I walked up to her and she remembered exactly who I was. She remembered everything. She sat down with me. Talk to me through everything about like how I'm doing and like all this stuff. And she's the best. She's the person who started for me in high school. But like, yeah, I'd say that's who was the main, that she was like the main point in my life where she
that's
changed
awesome.
It all. But yeah, Dory
that's,
Elliott.
That's awesome.
Coolest, nicest teacher ever.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't exactly the best student ever, but she definitely was like, oh, Yeah, you actually want to do this? Okay, let's have fun then. Whatever.
But she was so not a 13 in that class.
Maybe 16.
No, I actually got 80s in drama, which was good. I actually got a 94 once in drama.
Nice. Yes.
Yes. I did very, very
well. Run the dramas.
And I did very well in English class as well.
There you go. I'm with you there.
There was no doubt that Rod was always smart and had the unlimited potential. And it's been showing up on the small screen and the big screen in whatever he does. I said it in the intro, dude. Kim's Convenience, one of my all-time favorite shows. And I don't even give it that precursor of all-time favorite Canadian show. It's just one of my favorite shows.
Yeah, it really is just one of the best shows that ever came out of Canada. It really
absolutely
is. And nicest people that ever came out. I mean, look at what Simu's doing. Yeah, right now.
He's a megastar.
What a freak! Like, that guy's insanely famous. What what is going? What last week he was hosting SNL. I couldn't believe it. I was like cursing at the TV, being like, "This is not happening. It's unreal. We're living in this. Anything can happen." I mean, good for him. Whatever.
And the story goes.
The guy works very hard.
And the story goes that Simu saw, while working on Kim's, saw that Marvel was about to start casting for Shang-Chi and just tweeted out and said, "Hey, Marvel, get at me." Is that really how it started? Do you know?
Yeah, that's exactly how it started.
Wow.
He tweets a lot. But
why didn't you do that?
He tweeted to, you know what? I actually have tweeted to Marvel that I wanted to play Puck in Alpha Flight.
That's amazing.
That's who I was like, it worked for Simu. Maybe I could do it.
And so right.
I tweeted going, if you guys are looking for a Puck, I would totally play him.
Oh, nobody else is angling for that gig.
For a good Puck call.
Yeah, it's like me and like a young Danny DeVito, basically. That's who would be Puck. But I mean, if they ever made an Alpha Flight movie, that would be really cool. And I could see that happening in like, I don't know, 7 years doing something like that.
They're running through the catalog, man. They're like 5 years ago, nobody would have thought a Shang-Chi movie would be out there breaking records.
I literally just saw it too. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's really cool. That bus fight scene is
crazy.
Is next level.
Yeah, man.
We were losing it in the theater when we saw that. That was really, really cool.
So
they made Black Widow. So, I mean, you know, who knows?
Black Widow is one of the best ones out of all of them. Are you kidding me? I saw Black Widow. I was losing the Florence Pugh. She's amazing in that movie.
Tid's just sexist, that's all.
I guess it is. You're being sexist right now.
This has been a bad politically incorrect show.
From Dan's fat shaming to so you know what, actually I was gonna ask you another question about that, but we just got a text 437-375-2000 from a viewer who says, "Hey, Rodrigo, big fan of yours on Kim's Convenience. Wanted to know, how shocked were you at the cancellation? And do you think the show could have survived if Simu had to leave?" Now, I know Simu said publicly he would have stayed even with all the Marvel stuff going on because he wanted to do Kim's. But maybe MCU life is tougher than he thought.
I mean, the odds of him juggling everything together, who knows? But I, you know what? Everything happens for a reason. So I feel like that the show had its moment in time and can't really like push it too much. You don't want to jump the shark with a show like that. I feel like it had a great amount of seasons. The only regret is I wish they had a better way of like ending it.
Right.
Like a good farewell or something, but
everyone wanted to see Jung and Appa get there.
No, I'm talking for me. I'm saying they should have had like an Enrique episode.
Enrique's story. We wanted to meet goodbye, Enrique's boyfriend.
They have a parade, something.
Have you pitched the origins story to them yet?
Enrique, the Enrique origins.
That's actually very funny.
You know what? For those of you out there, and if you've never watched Kim's, I feel sorry for you. I want to just share this for a quick second. I found this on YouTube. This is a quick supercut of Rodrigo doing his thing as Enrique.
Oh, no way.
Let's check this out.
Hi. Remember me?
Good hair.
Mr. Kim, it is me, Enrique.
Yeah, I know. You don't have to announce. So,
I'm just trying to take one can. Mr. Kim, could you give me a hand? My eyes are bigger than my arms. I am boycotting all plastic bags.
Hmm. So how you carry?
I will be like the majestic sea turtle.
Hello, Mr. Kim.
Enrique, why are you running?
High cholesterol. Also, some kids on the corner are being very aggressive.
Uh-huh. Understand?
I have no idea.
Take her on vacation.
She don't want vacation.
You want the balls vacation? Delivery.
Okay, I should go. I just ran into an old friend. Okay, you hang up. You hang up.
No, you hello? Okay, sure. You have express checkout?
Yeah. Two item rest.
Well, that doesn't seem fair.
Friend.
Oh, my G.
You said it. Look at us. Two hot-blooded soulmates. That's a call. Before I throw out the pizza and never order more again. I know you're not a stone. He's not a stone.
Amazing.
I think so my good. Favorite one out of all of those was when we filmed the jogging one when mm-hmm. I came in, because I think Paul and I were actually like, we had to do it so many times because we were laughing so hard at, when I was coming in, because they kept having to spray.
Right.
In the beginning, they sprayed the sweat on me, but by the end, that was
it was all legit.
It was all real sweat.
So. Was that the rib? They were like, we're going to get this guy to do it so many times that he actually worked it.
I think they actually did. They were like, we're going to get him
those
to
mother,
do it at
those
least
mother
10 times. But it was very, very fun. Oh, man, that made me miss that show. But yeah.
I think it was 2019 or maybe it was early 2020. I can't remember. Paul won an award for funniest lead actor on a TV show. It was a Canadian award. And he's up against like Eugene Levy and like, you know, other amazing talents. And he goes up there and wins the award. And you can just see the crowd is hanging, waiting for his speech to see what is this guy going to say. And he goes up there and puts on the voice and goes, I deserve. I'm like, brilliant. Brilliant. Yeah, right. Brilliant. We just had another text message, 437-375-2000. This one is from Jennifer. It says, hey, Rodrigo, big fan of yours. Wanted to know, as a member of the LGBTQ community, did you ever feel any resistance from members of my community for playing a gay character when you yourself don't seem to be gay?
It came. That's a great question. It came. It came up later on, definitely. And then it kind of got to the point where I was like, maybe, I mean, when the show ended, I was like, yeah, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe maybe I should stop playing the character, but it definitely was a question that came up all the time. And yeah, there was some resistance. But also as an actor, I was like, what can I do for this character? And like, what can I do to, you know, at least represent a community that I'm friends with a bunch of people who, mm-hmm. you know, are part of it. But yeah, definitely great. It's a conversation that comes up all the time with a lot of castings now.
You know, I'm super curious, Rod, on your opinion of that entire concept, because like, you know, I've done some acting and I've often been taught, you know, the whole concept, of course, of acting is to play a character and to become and to do your work, to understand. Do you think that we're in a place where you cannot or we shouldn't be portraying characters from other communities? Because it almost sounds like there would be a backlash if, say, an actor from the LGBTQ community played a straight person. Is that, you know what I'm saying? Like, that should be allowed. In my mind, where do you sit with whether or not that should be a thing? Because I hear this coming up a lot more about the, you know, cross community, you know, character playing. Where do you sit on that? I think it's a touchy subject.
Like I said, I'm not I'm not the type of person who's going to ever say like anybody shouldn't or should be doing something.
Right.
What I'm going to say is that I've definitely thought about it and been like, should I be playing this character? And like, I've had these conversations and I'm like, I mean, should I really be? And it's, and also it's not the first gay character I've played. That's the thing too, where I've been like, oh, well, you know, I played this other gay character in another show.
Right.
So I'm going to say that I don't know the answer, and it's still a conversation being told. It looks like it's going towards those characters, or those gay characters should be played
right
by gay actors. It looks like it's going into that direction.
I just wonder if you would consider it problematic if the opposite were to also, because I mean, I don't think it's fair for gay actors to not be given roles where they play straight characters.
Or I mean, maybe Neil Patrick Harris does it all the time.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. And why can't
also... wait, what?
Yeah, sorry to spoil that for you, Tim.
Neil Patrick Harris is gay, Chris.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that's a good question too, or that's a great thing to bring up. I mean, it could also be something where, like, depending on the production or depending on like the actor, like, who knows? A lot of people have different kinds of like sway, and it's a lot. You know, it has a lot more to do with. Not a lot more, but like there's a lot of different factors when it comes to all this stuff. It's like, are you an actor who, you know, are you a super famous actor who can risk not having to do that or like to make your statement, you know? Or you can be someone who's an actor who's not given a lot of opportunity and all of a sudden they're saying, oh, you're the best person for this job.
Right.
And then you're kind of sitting there going, okay, well, the production wants me, like they're saying I'm the funniest person. Should I be able to do this position? So like, there's a lot more factors to it. So I just don't really think it ends up being just one thing.
Sure.
But also there's a whole community that doesn't really get a lot of opportunities. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing too, that we have to like kind of also bring up. And it's bit like I said, and that's kind of the thing that's been brought up a lot. And I'm also an actor who's part of a union. I'm part of like an industry here in Canada that people are constantly trying, like the whole point to Kim's Convenience was to give a voice to Koreans,
an underrepresented community,
like a whole community of people who
yeah.
we never even guessed a whole show could be based off of them, you know? Mm-hmm. So like,
it's funny when we talk about this, because I'm of two minds. On one hand, I don't ever want to see someone like Tom Cruise again, starring in The Last Samurai. At the same time, the best on-screen romance with the most chemistry I've ever seen was Noel Fisher and Cameron Monaghan as Ian and Mickey on Shameless. I've never seen two people more in love, and neither one of them is gay. And I've never seen two people more in love on screen ever.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like they nailed that role. And if they weren't allowed to have those roles, it would have been a detriment to television in general because they were incredible. I think I wanted to be gay after watching it. So in love. I was jealous I wasn't gay.
I mean, there was a big question, too, that we had in the beginning of Kim's, where with the gay discount, because Enrique wasn't supposed to be a recurring character. He was just in that one episode.
Oh, wow.
And the whole point of the episode was, is Enrique gay? Like, we don't know. Is he trying to prove that he's gay just to get the discount?
Right.
So that was the whole joke. That was a thing. Like we just didn't really ever stamp anything down. And then later on, it became a thing where he's like, well, we're going to bring him back. And I don't know, that obvious, like I said, that was something that came up every now and then. And in the beginning, I was like, I don't think he's gay. I don't think. And then later on, we were like, no, he's totally gay. He's gay. yeah, no, I still think it's a great conversation to have. And like, I'm not the person to be making decisions like that. If anything, I can say like, we should be auditioning and giving opportunities to people.
Oh, like, for sure.
All the time.
Yeah.
But right. To answer your previous question of, do I think it's weird if gay actors play straight roles? Not at all. I mean,
no, and it shouldn't. That's the point, is it shouldn't be. It's, you know, best actor gets the role, right?
Hey, man, almost every American actor that you love is British.
The perfect example. Yeah.
And that really hot chick from Yellowstone, she's British.
My guy tripped me out when I first saw interviews with all the actors from The Walking Dead. I was like, what's going on here?
Oh, British.
Sons of Anarchy.
At the end of the day, guys.
Sons of Anarchy. That dude's British.
Are all gay. We're all gay. Okay? Yeah.
Do I get a discount?
You get the discount.
But I hope that answers the question of that person who texted or called in. I don't know how you guys are taking these questions.
That's amazing.
You guys have like a private WhatsApp or something?
Yeah, we have a phone number. It's on the screen right there, dude.
Cool. Well, I hope that answers their question, and because they, you know, I want to be as respectful as possible too, without them being like, he dodged that question, that guy.
We had a couple more questions that came in, 437-375-2000, along the same
questions. Way to go.
Yeah,
this is, and great,
these two came in and they're on similar topics, so I'm gonna converge them into one question. I'm gonna thank
my workout plan.
This person had no, this person didn't leave their name. This other person said their name was Stacy. So the two of them are asking about your love of Venom. And you have an intense love of Venom, as do I. However, unlike you, I'm not quite as accepting and apologetic for what Andy Serkis put out on the big screen a month and a half, 2 months ago. That was a steaming pile of poo-poo. And I refuse to give that a pass. I said on the show.
What's the question from Stacy?
The question was from Stacy specifically. It said, "As much as you love Venom, was it hard to watch Venom 2?"
Was it hard to watch?
Yeah.
Listen. Okay. I can walk into these movies and think that I'm Roger Ebert and sit down and critique every single thing. Yes. Do I know what a bad movie is? Of course I do.
That was it.
Yes, did Andy Serkis do something that I did really not think was the best film? Sure. But also,
that's the sweetest way to put it.
Is it going to take a while to make a really good Venom movie? Of course it is. Am I expecting Venom 3, 4, 5 to be any good? No, I'm expecting the seventh one to be amazing. Okay? But all I want is for them to keep making them. I don't care.
Wow.
Like, I would rather, like, they didn't get Spider-Man right in the first, like, how many did it take to get right? Yeah. I think it was
Spider-Man,
like,
2 was okay.
Yeah, Spider-Man 2 was really good.
Spider-Man 2 was okay. Spider-Man 3 with Venom was the dog shits. I didn't mind the first one with Andrew Garfield. The second one was just ridiculously overbooked. And I love Tom Holland.
I bought my ticket today for Spider-Man, the next one. I'm going to go. I'm so excited.
I can't wait, man. My kid is like December 17th.
Is that right?
17th, okay. But I'm going on the 16th.
Oh, look at you. Big
tweet
shot.
Out the spoilers.
But to answer the question, I think Andy Serkis.
I love Andy Serkis.
Yeah, I like him, but yeah, the movie was, you know what it felt like? It felt like Andy
Abbott and Costello. That's what it felt like.
It felt like they had, obviously the pandemic kind of ruined whatever. It was just weird because they were like, the pandemic kind of, it stopped it, and they were like, but we're still shooting. And then all of a sudden, like 2 months later, they were like, no, it's fine. We were done shooting. And then, there was like a photo that came up on Instagram of Andy Serkis beside his computer going, I finished the movie. And I was like, what is going on? And I just pictured Andy Serkis like throwing footage at an editor and the editor having a panic attack. The first 20 wow. minutes of the movie, it felt like you were on cocaine. Like, it didn't feel.
Maybe the way we started
this is going down from your original. It wasn't so bad.
I believe me, I know what a bad movie is. I like bad movies though, and I love going to. I just love going to see movies. So if any, I'll watch 7 bad Venom movies.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe they're of the same mindset, and they're like, okay, this is number 2. We have to make like 4 more of these shitty ones before we get it right. So they're just kind of pumping them out right now.
The way we started this segment with Dan saying that the Beatles was just a bunch of shit thrown together, that's the critique for Venom. Let there be refunds. We have another question that came in just now. This one is from Tanya. Hey, Rodrigo, I'm an aspiring actor. I had a really uncomfortable moment the other day. I was doing a love scene with my co-star, and I noticeably felt his erection. Have you ever done that to someone? And what did you do to get out of an awkward situation?
Wow, what an intense question to ask. I love how you're like, I'm an aspiring actor who... Just had an intense love scene.
Yeah.
Porn star.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, the hard-on is acceptable.
I mean, here's the thing. And if mandatory. You're starting out, maybe lay off the love scene.
I was right going to say.
Just chill. Stuff like that. That's not, yeah. And that's not cool. No, that's actually never happened to me. Because I've never actually done like a crazy love scene. I've only done like jokey love scenes, which is like, I'm a pathetic guy who like can't get it up. So
you're like the best friend of the guy in the love scene.
Yeah. Like you're laughing at me while I'm trying to do something hot or whatever. But
You've never like popped a V and gone to work and said, let's see where this takes me.
There's popped a V. there's so many. Also, I mean, obviously it happens. It's nature. Like, whatever is going to happen. Like, go nuts. But also, there's so many things happening while you're in the middle of doing a scene like that. Like, you've got, like, there's 7 people in the room, you know? You've got, there's no room for like to get steam. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't,
I got a lot more respect for the people that do adult cinema and pornography and stuff like that, because the amount of people that are around and you've still got to be able to perform. It's like, these guys are athletes.
Tim doesn't even perform alone.
My advice would be stay away from people that are making like short films like that. Like, who are you making with James Franco?
Maybe we should get some more information. Maybe we should have her on the show.
It's the new Chris D'Elia film.
Wait, Dan, same question. When you shot the music video for Bod, you were in your swim trunks with a bunch of like bikini clad babes all around you, any issues? Any unprofessionalism?
No, and actually, when I shot the video for Last Minute, where I actually had the girl in the bed with me, and her boyfriend was literally out the room watching it on the monitor. No, it didn't. It was. I'm very aware that there's a lot of people here, and this isn't actually happening.
Right.
And you know how I am with dudes in the room anyway. So I was like, nah, nothing will go on today.
That's funny.
That's so.
It was limpas.
Rod, Thursday, anyone who's checking out this program can see you on CBS. Tell us what you're going to be doing, man.
There's a really funny show on CBS called Ghosts. I'm
great trailer.
I'm guest starring on it this Thursday. I play a historian named Todd Perlman, who's an obsessed fan of one of the ghosts named Alberta. And I researched her entire life. I'm making a book about her, and she has. I basically am trying to like figure out who murdered her. But yeah, really, really fun show. I got to just hang out with the cast for like a few days. But I had a blast, and it's on this Thursday. It's such a funny show.
Yeah, it looks fun.
I think it was the number one comedy in America for a little bit. I think it still is. Wow. On primetime TV, at least. I know that.
That's awesome.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Yeah. Ooh.
Of course I do. I believe in all that stuff. Are you kidding me? I believe in supernatural and everything.
Yeah, he's got that South American blood in him.
I believe in aliens. I mean, all of that stuff. How could you not?
Santa.
Yeah, all of it.
Tooth fairy. I don't believe in Santa, but I...
How do you not?
Well, where do you cut? Where do you draw the line?
Yeah,
in the interview.
Krampus.
Interview.
It's all over.
And you've got a big show coming up, big comedy show. Tell us about it.
December 14th at Comedy Bar in Toronto. 945 Bloor Street West,
okay,
in Toronto, December 14th. It's the Gaetano Nunziato Christmas Especialo. Wow. 113-year-old Christmas crooner Gaetano Nunziato is coming back from retirement to do
one of your characters.
One last Christmas crooning show.
Amazing.
He's a character that I'm going to play. This is going to be a fun one. We've got a lot of really, really funny guests. People like Gwen Phillips, my partner and also a hilarious comedian. She's in a sketch troupe called Templeton Philharmonic. We got a comedian, Tom Henry, who just had a Crave special come out last year. We got Brandon Ash Muhammad, who was on Just for Laughs. We got Lydia Prasad and Joe Harris, who are part of a folk group called the Au Pairs.
Mm.
Very, very, we got a lot of, it's going to be like one of those old school Christmas specials, but with blood and a lot of very... it's kind of like a GWAR show, but for crooners.
That's amazing.
Very, very fun. It's going to be very fun.
Dude, what time are you guys going on?
It'll be on at 9:30. And it's I think it's a Tuesday night.
It is a Tuesday night. It's our last episode of 2021. We're going to be on the air with Steph Brogren from Degrassi.
Oh, no way. Cool.
I'm trying to see how quickly we can get down to not Ossington, but Bloor. Because I would love to see this show. This
Guys,
sounds amazing.
Please do. If anything, I can set you up with some guest passes. Please come down. It'll be really, really fun.
Man.
You can come down. It starts. Yeah, it's a 9:30 show.
Mm-hmm.
You come down. And I just warn you right now that you will be grossed out by my appearance.
This wow. sounds. Dan, you want to be my date?
That's it. Can't wait.
And there's music.
No, it sounds cool.
I love it. Will there be any of the songs from your comedy album?
I can't disclose that. Oh. I can't say that. I can't
say
that there's going to be some music.
Yeah. This sounds crazy.
It's a good tease. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
We're going to try to make the schedule work so we can do it on that and make it out on that night. Rodrigo, thanks so much, man. If I know you're not a big social media guy, but you are on Instagram. So if people want to find you.
If people want to find me, Instagram at Rodrigo F. Stoll. Yeah, I got off Twitter. I got off Facebook. It just felt right. So I'm just
toxic
on that one thing.
I
on
feel
Insta.
You.
So Insta just feels a little bit better because you can post, you know, photos, videos.
Yeah,
The odd political rant, whatever. Mm-hmm. Right.
The algorithm control is way better on Instagram, I find.
Oh yeah, it feels good, right? And you can promote your show, and like I can set up like a ticket link and everything, right?
Yeah.
So.
Cool,
it's perfect.
Man.
It's Wish exactly what social that. Media should be. Not all
right.
this toxic bullshit.
Exactly.
Rodrigo Fernandez Stoll, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for hanging out with us, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks so much, guys. It was really nice to see you again, and you're the best for having me on. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry for the 13%.
Thank you, man.
That's great.
But you earned every bit of it.
We'll see you later. Awesome. Pat. Later, guys. Thank you.
See you, buddy.
There he goes.
Be good, bro.
Rodrigo Fernandez Stoll, comedian, actor, performance artist extraordinaire. We'll put the link up on thegodfathersofpodcasting.com if you want to go and check out his show on the 14th. We are out of time, fellas. Closing thoughts?
Pick up your copy of Dear Hip Hop, everybody.
Shameless self-promotion from your bro, Danny.
Who else is going to do it?
Where can they get it?
At DannyO.com.
Perfect. Ted?
Crossbody Studios. You can join now if you want to become an aspiring professional wrestling star or just kick the crap out of your own body. Hit me up. You can send me a DM. I will send you all of the information. We are taking new students right now. It is in Cambridge, Ontario. Please pick up your tickets right away.
I had the opportunity to check out the new Crossbody Studio facility last night. Tid and Big Ben gave me a tour. It is a really nice space out in Kitchener. If you're Cambridge. Out that, excuse me, Cambridge, it's all the same shit to me, Kitchener, Cambridge. It's in Cambridge, and it's a really nice space. And I will say this, there have been multiple people in my life who have come up to me and said, hey, I want to be a pro wrestler. What should I do? And I gave them Tid's phone number. And he turned them into wrestlers. And he knows who I'm talking about because it's happened a couple times. And you know what? Those guys went on to have really good careers and be really good performers. And if you're trying to learn and you want to learn the right way, give them a call because you will be well taken care of. I can assure you that. My name is Donnie Da Silva. That is the Notorious TID Chris Tidwell and your bro Danny O. Thanks to everyone who was writing in, sending questions. We had a whole bunch of people. We had a question, dude, that I wanted to get to, and unfortunately we don't have time, but someone asked me, a 31-year-old man in Brampton was arrested on Saturday when he tried to pay for gas with weed. And my question to that person is, who told you Tid was 31? Yeah. Good night, everyone.
Peace.